Again, we have been blessed with a beautiful day, a wonderful opportunity to gather together in the presence of our God and worship Him. We're so grateful that you're here. Just what a great blessing is. I hope you know that, that we believe that, and we're willing to live that. And to the visitors we have here, we're grateful that you're here. Just know that you are an encouragement to us. I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And if you have any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask. Let us share the hope that we have with you. Also, let's be mindful. We have so many that are sick. We've got quite a few that are out on vacation or camping this weekend. We want to pray that they make it back to us safely. And those who are sick, continue to pray for them. A lot of folks getting test results this week. Some procedures. So let's be mindful that our God answers prayers, and we'll make intercession if we pray for that, and it's according to His will. The story's told about a farmer. He had an empty, unused well, and one of his donkeys fell down into that well. The donkey cried out, of course. And that farmer, for a couple days, tried everything that he knew to get that donkey out of that well. He invited his neighbors over, and they tried to help. And then he finally decided, well, I was going to fill that old well up anyways. And he decided just to fill the well up with dirt and bury the donkey and get it out of its misery. And as they started to shovel dirt into that well, the donkey cried out all the more, kind of realizing what was happening. But after a while of shoveling dirt into the well, the donkey got quiet. And so the farmer looks down the well, and he realizes something amazing. Every time they threw dirt down the well on top of the donkey would just shake it off and step up. And of course, after a while of throwing dirt into that well, the donkey just stepped out of the well. Now, the moral of that story is this. Life is going to shovel dirt on you, and what you need to do is shake it off and step up. Right? That's simple. And really, that's what this lesson this morning is all about. We're going to look at Hebrews, the third and fourth chapter. The whole book of Hebrews is really about don't give up. Again and again throughout the book, it appears that there were some Christians who were about to give up on their faith. And we're going to go back to Judaism. And the whole book is a plea, laying down evidence in that plea of, well, why would you ever leave? Let me tell you what you have in Christ. What you have is so special. So it's a book about not giving up. And what we're going to see here in chapter 3 and chapter 4 is that. Right? Really, it's about not giving up. And our theme for the year, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Right? And we're talking about abounding in the Lord this last portion of the year. You see, here's the problem. When we start to get weary, when we start to get tired, James talks about this, James 1, verse 15. He said, when we start to get weary and tired and we're about to give up, we develop a bad attitude. We develop an attitude of everything's permissible. And as James says in James 1, verse 15, you know, that's going to bring about something. It's going to bring about sin, which is going to bring about death. So it's so important that we don't give in. Right, and so many times we feel so overwhelmed, and we think, you know, why even try? You know, life is just shoveling dirt on us. Why even try? I can never seem to shake it all off. And so we got to be reminded again and again to never give up. What we have waiting for us, it's going to be worth it all if we just will hold fast to that confidence as God's children. Now, you can see the quote I have here on the screen. Now, I'm not, it's not my habit to quote Franklin Roosevelt, right? not my favorite president, but he did have a few good quotes, and this is the best one. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear. That something else, for us, is that final rest, heaven, our reward. Right? And we've got to see that rest, is so much more important than any fear that we have. And so let's think about that this morning here from our study text in Hebrews, the 3rd and 4th chapter. But what I want to do first here, as we think about all of this, is we need to understand something about that word rest from our Bibles. You know, there's different, we're going to see all four uses of the word rest here in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. You know, they all have different meanings and different applications. Right? We see four different types of rest in the Bible. And of course, we have the literal Sabbath day of rest. Now, I did jump ahead of myself. These are the three questions we're going to answer this morning. How can I know that I have rest waiting for me? How can I enter this God-promised rest? And how do I keep from falling short of this rest? So those are three questions that we're going to answer this morning. But let's talk about real quick the different kinds of rests that the Bible talks about. Number one, you have the Sabbath day, literal Sabbath day rest. Right, and we read about this, Deuteronomy 20, Exodus 20. This was the law for the children of Israel. Right, under the law of Moses, right, this was our Saturday. Right, this is the day that they were to do no work. Right, this applied to the children of Israel under the old covenant. So we've got that rest. And then, of course, we got God's rest. Remember there in Genesis 2nd chapter, after 6 days of creation, we read that God rest. But what I need to understand about this is, you know, God doesn't get tired like we get tired. Right? God is spirit. A better way to understand this word here in the original language is more of the idea of a cessation of works. Right? God stopped working. And you can see this carried over into our study text in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4. So we've got God's rest. He's not resting because he's tired. He stopped creating. Then we have the land of promise for the children of Israel, also called rest. Right? Children of Israel, slavery, Egypt, Moses leads them out. Right? Where they go? Where they're going to that land of milk and honey, Canaan's land. Right, the land of rest, that promised land of rest for them. So you read about that in your Bible. And then finally, what we have is what we're looking forward to as Christians. Right, we're looking towards heaven, our final rest. And you see that in the Bible, sometimes even called David's rest. Right, and so what's going to happen here in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, he's going to talk about the children of Israel, that first generation, coming out of slavery in Egypt, and they fell short of that rest. He's going to use them as an example for us today on how we fall short of that rest and telling us not to do what they did so we can make it to our final rest, our reward. And so we see that here in the text, and, you know, let me add this here. When we're thinking about this, we're thinking about abounding in the Lord. We're thinking about growing beyond the weariness that we feel sometimes. You know, understand this, when we want to give up on the Lord, we're basically stating a couple things. Number one, God is not capable of caring for me, or he doesn't care about caring for me. So let's make sure that we understand that and understand how that is so damaging to our attitude in this walk of faith that we have. All right, let's look at that first question. I want you to read with me Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3, our scripture reading earlier. All right, so I can find the courage here not to give up. That's what I'm looking for. Well, let's read it together. Therefore, let us fear if, now you should fear if what? While the promise remains of entering his rest, any of you may seem to have come short of it. You should fear if you come short of that promise. Verse 2, for if indeed we have had good news preached to us, now that's the gospel. He can talk about that in a few more verses from here. Just as they also, now he's talking about the Jews, the first generation. But the word they heard did not profit them. Why? He says, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they, that first generation, shall not enter my rest. We're promised to rest. That's how we know, right? Because God promised it. I want you to note just a couple of things here. If you jump a little bit further here in Hebrews. So how can I know? I have this promised rest waiting. How can I know that? Well, listen, God promised it, and it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. God is not capable of lying, and he promised that rest. And if you don't give up. Now, also understand it's impossible for God to lie. Right? In Malachi 3 and verse 6, he says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. In 1 John 5 and verse 13, we're told that these things were written down so that we may know, not wonder, but that we may know that we have eternal life. All that is removed because we are promised by a God who does not lie and he does not change. Right? He's not going to change the rules in the middle of the game. He promised it. Chapter 9 and verse 15 of Hebrews, for this reason, he's a mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Go back to chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2 here in Hebrews. I want you to note something here before we move on to this next point. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, in a series of points made to explain why it was absolutely necessary for God to come in the flesh, Christ Jesus, right, to become a man and to die for us, to make it possible to have this hope of rest. But then in chapter 3 is examples of how Jesus is faithful. If you have your Bible open, look at chapter 3, verse 2. Right, he's laying down evidence. Right? Those who are counted worthy, those who don't give up, those who don't quit, they have this promised rest. God doesn't lie. He doesn't change. It's impossible for God to lie, and he made a promise. Right? If you don't give up, heaven is your reward, your final rest. Right? And he gave us his son to prove it. In 1 John 5:13, again, he wrote it down. So you can see it and evaluate and respond to that information, that evidence, and believe. Have trust. Knowing these truths here with all confidence, you can't help but abound more and more for the Lord. Our second question, our second main point here in this lesson. So how can I enter this God-promised rest? And for this, if you have your Bible open and you're looking at your text, I believe you'll see this. Now, not only is it important for me to understand the word rest and how it's used in this text, but I also need to understand the word enter. Because you see this word enter a lot. Right? And I want you to note how it is used in reference to the rest, the word rest. And so stay with me here, if you would. Notice this pattern in this discussion in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. But I want you to first remember the words of Jesus in John 10 and verse 4. And he said, his sheep, right? His sheep follow him because they hear his voice. Or your translation might say words. People follow Jesus because of his words. Right? They got a willingness to seek the words of Jesus, hear the words of Jesus, and obey the words of Jesus. So keep that passage in mind here as you look at the text. chapter 3 and verse 11, they shall not enter my rest. Why? Well, verse 7, they don't hear my voice. Look at verse 18 of chapter 3. They're not going to enter his rest. Why? Because they were disobedient. They refused to obey. Obey what? Well, the gospel, verse 2. Right? And so what you got to know here, stop for just a moment if you're not familiar with the text. He's talking about that first generation of the children of Israel and how they left slavery, right? And they're getting close to the promised land, that promised land of rest. Remember they sent in the 12 spies? And the 12 spies come back and 10 give a wicked report. Right, Joshua and Caleb give a good report, but 10 of the 12 said, we can't do it. They're too big, they're too strong, fortified, we just can't do it. And then the people believed the wicked report. That's why they had to wander for 40 years. Right, and so you got a group of people here, if you read the whole chapter, chapter 3 of Hebrews, that absolutely believed in God. Right, they saw the 10 plagues, they saw the parting of the Red Sea, they were fed manna from heaven, they got water out of the middle of a rock in the middle of a desert. They believed in God. But look at chapter 3 here in the very last verse. So we see they were not able to enter because of unbelief. You can believe in God all day long, and God will still call it unbelief if you don't trust and obey. Understand that truth. And there's a lot of people out there in the world today, well, I'm religious, I believe in Jesus, I just got a special relationship with God. Right? And they think that they're good. That is not what Scripture teaches. Absolutely not. You can believe all day long, but never be obedient, and you will not enter the promised land. Not my words, that's just one example here. You want another example? You taking notes? 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Read that on your own. There's a day coming when Jesus is coming back with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and do not obey the gospel. You can know God, but not obey the gospel, and Jesus is going to take vengeance with his angels in flaming fire. Believing is not the same as obedience. Now keep reading here. That was verse 18. I want you to go into verse 19. Here in chapter 3, they were not able to enter. Why? Again, because of unbelief or lack of faith. Then into chapter 4, a promise remains to enter if not falling short. You got to start right and you can't give up. Look at verse 3. The ones who keep on believing, we see they enter that promised rest. In verse 5, they shall not enter the rest, refers back to verse 1. Right, those falling short, how do they fall short? Well, verse 5, verse 11 also, they're not listening to his voice. They're not listening to the words of the Lord. Yeah, I believe in God, but I'm just not going to listen to his words. I'm not going to trust him. I'm not going to obey. You will not enter the promised land, right? You just read it for yourself. That's not Sean standing up here saying that. That is God in the inspired text. Look at verse 6 of chapter 4. You see the word enter again. Those who enter, we see, are those who heard the good news, the gospel, and responded with obedience. Right? And that's a whole lot different than just believing in the gospel and not responding in obedience. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I've never obeyed the gospel. The words we're reading here is, you will not enter the promised land. In verse 10 of chapter 4, enter, you see it again here. And this enter is after hard works. Right? Staying busy, not giving up, because we're working, right? Abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And then again in verse 11, finally here, entering the promised rest because of diligence. But that's why we don't fall short of that. We're working with diligence. Right? Because you're not growing tired and turning disobedient. Now understand this. You got to start right to end right, and in between that, however long that is for you, you've got works to do. Now, and understand this, you cannot earn your salvation, absolutely impossible. It's a free gift of God. but he does require obedience. So that changes everything. Now I'm working for the Lord, not to earn my salvation, but I'm working because I'm saved. Right? Because I have access now by the blood of Jesus to the grace of God, which continuously cleanses me. So you kind of put this whole pattern together here real quick before we move on to our third and final point, right, to answer this question, how can I enter this God-promised rest, right? You got to not refuse to hear his voice, right? Go back here to the into chapter 3, right? Into chapter 4, not refuse to obey his gospel, must not be incompliant with the gospel, we must not have a lack of belief, we must not fall short. We must not be disobedient. We must not give up or quit. Right? That's the storyline here in the teaching in this text. You start right to end right. And there's some things going on in between here that you need to be taken care of. Working for the Lord, abounding in the Lord, so that you don't fall short of that end, that promised rest. One more thing to note here, and then we'll move on to our third and final point. Reread verse 3 of chapter 4 with me. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, he's quoting Psalm 95:11 here, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. This simply explains and answers that the question here, right? Believe, have faith in the promise. Right? Believe and have faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you, and obey the good news of the gospel. Right? In the gospel, we learn, literally is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. That's what the gospel is. That's what you're to believe. That's what you're to respond to here. And in verse 3, in the language of the New Testament, it's the idea for we who have believed, taken action, have entered that rest. Right? Belief is not just a thought passing through your mind. You're going to do something with that. Remember the children of Israel, that first generation, they knew God existed. Evidence was right there this whole journey. They knew God existed, but yet they couldn't enter because of unbelief. They didn't take action. They didn't trust God. All right, number 3 this morning, our third and final point. How do I keep from falling short of this rest? Right now, if there's a prize, if there's a goal, there remains a possibility of falling short of it, right? Well, I have a race, if there's no ending, if there's no finish. And you can't finish if you don't start. You can't finish if you quit. This is all about diligence and obedience. Short and sweet answer to this question here in our third point. How do I keep from falling short of the promised rest? Be diligent. Be diligent in your obedience. Work for the right reasons for the Lord. And he gives an example here in verse 10. Right? Be diligent working for God. After you work, you're tired, right? And you desire rest. You know, God himself worked for 6 days, and there was a cessation of works on the seventh day. The children of Israel were tested on that journey to their promised rest, the land of Canaan. They had to travel a long distance and remain faithful before they were allowed to enter into that land of milk and honey for that physical rest. So we're no different. Right? We have to be diligent in our work for the Lord so that we may obtain our spiritual rest. And we've never been promised it would be easy. And here's where a lot of us make a mistake. We think it ought to be easy. Right? We think when we obey the gospel, everything just ought to work out perfectly for us. Right? And I always kind of joke, we think, you know, maybe I'm a Christian now, my electric bill ought to go down. I'm a Christian now, I ought to get better gas mileage. I'm a Christian now, my boss ought to be nice to me, and everyone ought to treat me. You know what? I'm a Christian, no one ought to cut me off on I-40. Right? We think everything ought to be easy. And when it's not easy, we get upset. And we develop a bad attitude. And if we're promised that it wasn't going to be easy. We're promised the opposite, right? That everything would actually be difficult. So no rest for now, but work. Rest is going to come later. A busy soul, diligent. You know the old adage, idle hands are the devil's workshop? You know, that's, I think, a fairly true adage. Our busy hands keep us diligent towards entering that rest. Now, before we conclude here, let's quickly ask and answer, why is this diligence, this constant work, these works of obedience, well, why is that critical to enter this spiritual rest that we have waiting for us? Well, we're going to see our answers in verses 12 through 16. Now definitely verse 12 we all know very well. Right? I quote it all the time. Right? We know it. We probably know it by heart. But understand that this is given in the same teaching as everything that we just read about. Right? What is he going to talk about in verse 12? He's talking about the Word of God. Right? So how do I enter that rest? How do I remain diligent in this journey on the way to that rest? Here it is in verse 12. He's saying, you need to allow the Word of God to penetrate your hard heart. You know, tie that back in with chapter 3 and verse 13, right? What was their problem? Well, they developed a hard heart because of sin. They wouldn't hear his voice. They wouldn't allow the word of God to penetrate in them and change their attitude, right? Which developed into unbelief. Although they believed, he said they couldn't enter because of unbelief. They didn't allow the word of God to penetrate their hearts. So here it is, note well, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. In other words, if you allow it, God's Word will go way down in there. And if you allow the Word of God, it will convict you, it will change you, it will challenge you. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Don't give up, right? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Do you hear it? But one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's how we continue. Here's our conclusion, right? This is why we don't give up. This is why we don't quit. We talked about the four different types of biblical rest here in Hebrews 3 and 4. Father, we've answered these important questions. How can I know that I have rest waiting for me? Well, God promised it. He doesn't lie. It doesn't change. Right? How can I enter this promised rest? Well, obey the gospel, the good news. And then number 3, how do I keep from falling short? Well, I got to get busy. I need to be diligent in my obedience. Right, keep working, never giving up, abounding more and more, always in the work of the Lord, knowing that the work of the Lord is not done in vain. You see, the answer is all about diligence, I believe, staying busy working for the Lord because the Lord works so hard for us. We work out of love and appreciation for what Jesus did for us. So I want to ask you a question here. Well, are you tired? Have you grown weary? Right? Hang in. Don't give up. Don't quit. Right? There remains a rest for you if you don't give up. No matter what you're going through, whatever difficulties you face. Right? And Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, remember this statement here, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's read one more verse. The lesson is yours. Hebrews 11, listen, what oxygen is to our lungs, such hope is to the meaning behind our lives. Right? That's what Jesus was saying there in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, right? And it's with that hope of a better home, right, away from this world, that keeps us moving on. Listen to this about Abraham, Hebrews 11, 8 and 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. That's rest. And he went out not knowing where he was. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder was God. You see, Abraham was able to look beyond the physical. He was looking forward to that final rest, right? And that allowed him to remain faithful. That was part of his faith. Right? He knew that there was something beyond this physical world. Right, and although he journeyed, he had a long journey like we do, he didn't give up. Right? So understand, cast your vision to the spiritual and understand that heaven is waiting for the faithful. God promised it. Now, if you're here this morning and you're thinking, that sounds good to me. I want that promised rest. How do I do that? Well, the Bible tells us in several places that you have to obey the gospel. Right, and the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. You might be thinking, well, how do I obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? That's a great question. The Bible also tells us. Right? You're going to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says in John 8, 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Right? But it's more than just a passing thought. Right? You've got to be willing to repent of your sins, allow the Word of God to convict you. Acts 2:38. You want to make that confession of faith that I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then reenact His death, burial, and resurrection in water. We call that baptism, immersion, for the removal of sins, right? Colossians 2:12, Galatians 3:27, we're clothed with Christ in baptism. And then the journey begins. Maybe you've done that and you lost your way along the way. You've lost hope. You're thinking about giving in. And maybe all that's going on in your life. Now, you got an opportunity this morning to be reconciled to God. So wherever you're at spiritually, if you need help, we're going to sing a song of invitation. Would you let somebody know during that? And we'll pray for you and we'll pray with you. So however we can help you this morning, don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.